Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on, and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And hello, Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again for another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Today, another episode of Open Lines, your calls, your stories, as told by the people who've experienced them firsthand. I always enjoy these episodes.
I do too.
It's fun to hear the perspectives and the reaction and the utter fear in someone's voice.
Mm-hmm.
I love putting people through trauma. I think that's what it is. I just like putting them right back there.
There is some
I'm kidding.
Some value to having to share what you've been through.
There's certainly value in it coming from someone. I don't want to traumatize anyone by having them share their story, but it's something about a firsthand account that it's really, you know, can only be told by the individual who experienced it. Much like the wonderful deals that you found there in the coupon book right before the show. Would you like to share what the coupon is that you found?
Well, there was two coupons.
Oh, there's two.
Yeah, let me find the exact. The first one was a $499 cremation special.
That's what you usually get in the Penny Saver. Now, this is the Wichita Plus deals guide that you get in the mail. It has, I see on the back here, we have coupons for a sushi restaurant. There's stuff for a water park. And then right in there, right behind that, is the cremation special.
It's on top of the burger ad.
Okay.
And next to the Mexican food ad.
That makes sense.
But wait, there's more. It includes transportation within the Wichita metro area.
Really?
Yes.
Is that after the cremation, or is that to get the individual to...
I think you would technically classify that as haul off.
Oh, I would think the haul off would be easy. I mean, because that's, you know, it's in an urn or something.
No, I mean, come and get it.
Would be the most difficult part.
Yeah.
Well, look at that.
And then there's another coupon here for a complete funeral for $1,997.
Now, nothing against a funeral home, but by any means, but that is a bizarre coupon to have right next to where you can get the burger and fries
mm-hmm.
for $4.99.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem like advertising dollars used all that wisely. Do you think anyone actually goes in and uses the coupon?
Probably. That's probably why it's in here. They probably have people that have used it, and that's why they continue to put it in.
You know, I create commercials, television commercials for some funeral homes in different parts of the country. With the other business that I have, and that, you know, that makes sense. You know, you're essentially, because you're branding it. It's so people think of you
mm-hmm.
when they need your services, which is, it makes total sense. Coupons, on the other hand, are a little more call to action. It's more like, oh, this is a great deal. I have to go use this right now. Now, I suppose if everything just aligned perfectly and correctly, then, you know, this would make sense, and it could probably save somebody some money. But it's not exactly, I mean, I don't know. Do you see this coupon for the funeral home and go, God, it expires on 12/31/15. So I'm really hoping Aunt Edna kicks it before then so I can get this deal. Do you cut it out and put it around Aunt Edna's house? Do you put it on her ottoman?
What about the doofus that pulls out the wrong coupon at the burger place and pulls out the cremation coupon?
I'd like to take this coupon actually into like Walmart or something where they match any advertised price.
Mm-hmm.
Just go, yeah, who do I see at about this? Is this in the automotive section or where do I go? Where do I go to take care of this little ditty right here? I just thought it was interesting. What's most interesting about the ad is just the real bright, big, bold lettering of the wording on this, like cremation. If they only put an exclamation point, it would have made it that much better. But it does look like, you know, you're getting a burger and fries for $4.99, but instead, cremation, $4.99.
It needs a winking emoticon.
It seems a little odd. Uh-huh. Yeah, and a dancing baby as a GIF image. Anyhow, 855-853-4802. That is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. That'd be an interesting thing for our listeners to send into us when they see bizarre advertising for things you know, of the field that we talk about,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's something like that. And I have no problem with a funeral home advertising. It's a business. It needs to
do it.
It's more so the tact of it and how it's done. That's what needs to be very, you know, the line drawn on the appropriateness of the ads.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to get some of our listeners that are in the field.
Mm-hmm.
In that business to weigh in and tell us what they think of having a coupon for services.
So coupon work in that industry.
Yeah.
I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. It is open lines today, like I said. So let's go to our first caller of the show and start hearing some real ghost stories from some real people. Let's kick off the show today. First with a call from Chris. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Chris from Stuart, Florida. I'm calling to tell you about my story. I'm a skeptic. At least I was until I went on a trip up to South Carolina. I went to go see my sister and her husband, and they wanted to take me on a ghost hunting trip. And we started out. The night was fun. We got together behind a Krispy Kreme donut factory, which was I thought was really neat. And we ended up praying into this the ceremony, the night, I guess. We would sit there and we all prayed for a good night and safe and just to reveal something. So we went out there and I was totally, didn't know what to expect, but I didn't really expect anything. I've been on a ghost hunting trip before, and I really didn't do anything. So we went out, and we had K2 meters and a ghost box. And so we went to one site, and it was like a bridge, and supposedly you would feel something try to push you almost off the bridge if you got too close. Nothing really happened there. There was a... The ghost box kept telling us not to go a certain way, so the lady said, do not go that way, so we didn't. We went to the next site, and this is where things got interesting. There we met a spirit, and it was, through the ghost box, revealed its name was Rachel. And we found out she had a kid with her, and it was from, like, the old stagecoach days. And this one girl who originally in the beginning of the night said she wanted to be touched, she got her wish. It was about 30 degrees outside, and all of a sudden she said it was hot, and she pulled down her scarf and her jacket, and she had 3 scratches right down her from her shoulder to heading towards her chest, and it was very hot, and we were all freaked out. And the lady, like, there was nowhere she could, like, get caught on, like, a branch or anything. And it wasn't something she did to herself, because I was near her the whole time. And it just didn't happen. So that kind of freaked us all out a little bit. So we went, the lady who was running the thing said, everybody back in the car. So we went to another site. And at the end of it, we were at the last site, and there was the ghost box was going off, and we were asking questions. We asked how many were there, and it said 5. And then, like, 2 seconds later, it said, like, 8. And the woman running the ghost hunting trip said that sometimes it just gives out random numbers. Well, after she said that, through the ghost box came 3 more just came. And I was freaked out. I'm like, well, that thing just did math. So I was like, that was pretty crazy. But afterwards, we had some holy water because in the past, I guess somebody brought some spirits home with them. So I took some of that holy water and just pretty much bathed in it. So that was my experience. It was short, but it was crazy, and I definitely am not a skeptic anymore. And I love your show, and it gets me through my long nights of work. And I hope you guys have a good night. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you, Chris, for calling in and sharing that story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. How often do you think that ghost tours have stuff happen on them where they the tour guides actually get a little bit perturbed?
I don't know.
And not by the living. I could see getting annoyed by the living really quickly with people trying to be cute and do this and that, but a little bit weirded out with, you know, events that take place on the tour beyond the guests.
I don't know. Do you mean frustrated with things that do happen or things that just never happen?
No, with things that do happen, where there's stuff that goes on, like in this story, where it's like, okay, everybody get into the car, let's go to the next place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like, move on quickly, I don't feel comfortable. You know, probably depends on what the tour is, how active the haunting is.
Yeah, I would think that would actually be a positive in most cases when something happens and you're on a ghost tour. It helps to drum up future business.
Sure. I think that's great if you're the owner of the tour.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be difficult to keep guides.
Yeah.
If you're, because, you know, it's one thing if you're the one that's profiting from the activity. It's the other if you're like, okay, I'm going to go work over at Denny's. I'm done with this. You know, I could see that being difficult.
Yeah, I could see that too. But I would have no way to know how often tour guides get perturbed at ghosts.
Very interesting story. Really appreciate that call. Thank you for calling in. 855-853-4802. Let's go to Johnny in Indiana. Johnny.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm Johnny. I'm from Indiana. I called you once before. I was stumbling a lot when I called. And I'm about 20 episodes behind right now, so I'm not sure if you guys put it on the air or not. Even so, I might as well make it better than it was before. A while ago I had talked to my mom. My mom, I think she's sensitive. I might be a little bit, but I don't really think it's that big, like as much as most other people are. I had talked to her. She said that when she was younger, this was when she was pregnant with me, she was laying on her side in her bed, and next thing she knew, there was a really heavy weight in the room, and her arms were pulled behind her back, and she couldn't talk, couldn't do anything. She said that she thought it was my sister Bethany messing with her. And when the weight finally had lifted, she turned around to yell at my sister, and she wasn't there. My sister had turned out to have left for her dad earlier, and she wasn't around to notice. Then the next day, the same thing happened, and this time, she didn't think it was my sister the second time. Her arms were behind her back, and in her ear, a very deep, she said it was a demonic-type voice that said, "I have you now," and then let her go. I have some of my own experiences. I plan on becoming an EPP soon. I appreciate you got what you do. Gives a good outlet for people. Gives me something to listen to during work. I plan on calling about my other experiences too. Much easier than typing it down. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for calling and sharing your story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories from yourself, from real individual human beings who listen to our show. What's interesting about shows like this is where you have so many stories that come in. It's fun then to kind of get everyone's take on some of these situations and stories up on our forum section on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So if you want to continue on the conversation, just beyond our banter here on the show and interact with the fellow listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online, go to that forum section at realghoststoriesonline.com and you can learn a little bit more and maybe get some other perspectives on some of the bizarre things that that we hear about on today's show. Of course, our phone number 855-853-4802 if you want to share your real ghost story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Sarah over in Newport News for her real ghost story into us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Yes, Sarah, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. Sarah from Newport News again. I just wanted to give you guys a little victory ghost story for me. Not that it wasn't horrifying, because trust me, all of my ghost stories for me were horrifying. But I did revel in this one, and I just wanted to kind of up the mood for me on the show. I didn't want everybody to think I'm like this horribly possessed person or sad or anything like that. Not that those things don't affect me, but anyway. So I was in high school, and being a high school student, you know, you're in that stage where, you know, I don't know. I just felt free enough to talk about my ghostly experiences, my personal and spiritual experiences with the idiots around me, because they're all idiot kids as well. So one day, and at this time I was living on a 180-year-old farmhouse in Illinois, and it was in the middle of nowhere, and we'd lived there about a year. And one day, it's just my brother and I, my younger brother and I, in the house. And our bedrooms were both upstairs. We were the only people upstairs. So one day we're hanging out upstairs, and I had this old giant six-disc player stereo. And it, you know, six-disc CD player, cassette tape. Players and two giant speakers, and it was a pretty nice setup for like 1997, which is probably about when I got it, or my dad got it. So anyway, I'm sitting in my room, and Miles is hanging, or my brother is hanging out with me, and all of a sudden, and the music is playing, and all of a sudden the music starts getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And I just get chills through my whole body. Everything in my body is screaming to get out. Now, my brother's a total skeptic, doesn't feel anything. He's stone cold. And I instantly just run out of my room. I grab Miles, I run out of my room, and I'm yelling, we have to get out of the house, we have to get out of the house. And I run across the field to where the neighbor lived, and her house sat in front of our house on a big field before the street. So I run over and I start pounding on the doors, and I'm crying and I'm screaming, and I'm like, oh God, please, nobody was home. So my brother and I sat next to the silo and waited for, you know, either my mother or my stepdad to get home, because I wasn't about to go back in the house, and I wasn't about to let him go back in the house. Something told me to stay out. And so I went to school, told everybody, hey, I had this experience. It was really weird. And they were like, oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. And I was like, fine, that's fine, I don't care. So a couple months go by, nothing's really happening, and my boyfriend, quote unquote, you know, high school, comes over and he brings his best friend. And it was the first time either of them had been in my house. So I'm kind of giving them the tour and I take them upstairs and I say, this is my bedroom. And we're talking and we're not actually inside of the room. We're outside of the door in the hallway. And all of a sudden, the radio or the stereo turns on, right? And it's quiet at first and it gets louder and louder and louder. And this big freaking grin goes all across my face and I just look at them and I say, I told you. And they're like, it's probably some electrical surge or something. And trying to rationalize it because they both like looked at each other, looked at me, looked at each other, looked at me, and then tried to rationalize it. And I just put my arm behind me, pointed, and said, it's not even plugged in. Go check. So they walk across the room and realize, holy shit, that's not even plugged in. They bolt down the stairs. I'm laughing maniacally because I have already experienced this, and now somebody else has seen what has happened. Somebody else has experienced what I've experienced. I am no longer crazy. And they bolt down the stairs. They immediately take off. I mean, hop in the car and go. And I then just like, you know, then I realize, oh, shit, and run down the stairs too. And I'm like, all right, I'll just sit outside amongst the corn and the bees and, you know, flowers and such of the wilderness and hung out until the end of the day. So I did get to go back to high school or the school and flaunt how they were chicken shit and ran out of my house because they experienced what I experienced. I wasn't crazy in the end. It was amazing. Victory for me. Thank you, Ghost, for doing it at the exact time I needed you to do it. And huzzah. So I just wanted to give you guys that story so that I'm not constantly drilling you guys with the saddest stories in the world. Although that was horrifying, don't get me wrong. I'm just happy that I was able to have somebody there who doubted me and told me, no, you're crazy. And to see the unplugged cord that had been unplugged since I experienced that, because fuck that, I'm not going to play with that radio until whatever is in my house is gone. And could not possibly have had any energy within it. No surge played louder and louder and louder. It just wasn't gonna happen. So I'm glad I had that victory. I wanted to share that with you guys so that you guys didn't have like this horrible picture of me. And thank you guys once again. I know I say it all the time, but thank you for letting me let this out because I don't get to ever. Otherwise, people think that I'm insane. So y'all have a great day, and I appreciate everything, and bye.
Well, unfortunately, I still have a horrible picture of you. I'm kidding.
That's not true.
I didn't have a horrible picture to begin with.
No, we've heard several of her stories, but this was probably the funniest one,
sure.
I think. So I like that that happened when she needed it to happen.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone so excited and gleeful over the undead making an appearance, essentially kind of on demand.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you're so used to it and it's like, you know, nobody's believing you, finally when that happens, that does, that could bring some joy.
Yeah.
As long as no one's getting hurt.
Yeah. And yeah. I bet you in the 180-year-old farmhouse, there's a lot of things that could be messing with the radio.
Yeah. That to me is just one of the creepiest concepts right there is if you are having an electronic device being manipulated by something that is clearly not there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not plugged in and it's not a battery issue. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Would you keep the device? Would you keep the, let's say, 8 o'clock radio?
Mm-hmm.
That was good. You liked it. It had, you know, wonderful features on it. Made you toast as well. It just did good things.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, it starts, you know, playing music randomly. Even when you unplug it, it keeps doing it. Then it turns off eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clearly not functioning correctly, and you can't explain why it's doing the things that it's doing. Would you keep it around?
Well, if it initially happened, I'd probably get rid of it thinking there was something wrong with the radio itself. But if the replacement then started doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
then I would know, okay, this is more than just the radio.
Yeah. Because it's really not the radio. It's not the radio.
No, it's something. Not. But it'd be hard to know until you put something else there and see it being manipulated as well.
I think I'd be really just creeped out every time I looked at the radio then. just knowing, if, especially if I saw like dials turning or something, if anything has a dial anymore. But it'd be a creepy, creepy experience. I don't know if I could keep the object around very much longer after having something like that happen.
No.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Scott in Utah. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Scott from Plain City, Utah. Listen to your show at work. Helps the time pass by. Got one story for you. Kind of, it happened to me a long time ago. Don't exactly remember how old I was. I think it was around 11 or 12. But anyway, I was out feeding the dog. And as I was out there feeding him, he started to growl off in the direction towards the front yard. So I turn around, and I don't even know if it was a shadow man or a ghost. I don't know what it was, but it scared the shit out of me. But I see a silhouette from all the way around it, head and shoulders and all. But from the neck down, it was just pure black. And his face was white, kind of like a Slender Man, if you've seen him. Look him up on YouTube. But I seen him, and I just stood there for about, I think, 5 minutes, just waiting to see what was going to happen. And my dog, Grizz, just kept growling. So I kind of got the feeling that this wasn't necessarily a good spirit or whatever it was. But after a while, it started running towards my house, towards the front of my house. And at that point, I was pumping with adrenaline, and I took off towards the back part of my house to get in. I went into the house, and I just hid in my mom's closet, and I told her there was somebody outside that was just staring at me. So she went outside with her gun, called my grandpa to come up and check the house, and couldn't find anybody, no tracks, no nothing. So I would love to hear your input on that. Love listening to the show. You guys are hilarious. So have a good day or night or whatever time it is there for you. And I hope to hear about it. Bye.
I think ghosts and guns could be a very bad mix very quickly.
Yeah, we've had a story about somebody that shot, and the police were called, and it was a bunch of holes in the wall because nothing was there.
Where you are such at a... on edge,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then that's involved, and then something paranormal, and, you know, maybe something paranormal happens, and then something non-paranormal happens, and, you know, it could go bad really quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm not anti-gun. I'm just saying ghosts and guns are probably not a good mix.
Sure.
The two together, of as far as just being on edge with a weapon that can cause some harm, to put it lightly. But what are your thoughts?
You know, as far as what he was describing, at first I thought he was going to say it was a shadow person, but then, mm-hmm. you know, having the white face and everything, maybe it was just a partial apparition.
I could see that.
And, you know, not having any footprints or any trace of him after, you know, they've seen him, that would go along with it being an apparition. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know how I'd be handling that if I were in their situation. I don't know. I still... I don't know how I would react. That's the question I get. Like, how would you react if this is you happening to you? I don't know, because I've never quite been into that specific situation of a haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I've ever seen has been usually far away, usually not directly in front of me, where it's, you know, like across the room type haunting.
Sure.
Yeah, it's been enough where it's like, well, that's creepy. I don't know what the hell that is way the hell over there. That's far, far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, right next to me.
Yeah.
If it was right next to me, I don't know how I would react. I would probably be wearing different pants shortly thereafter. That's probably an accurate statement. But beyond that, I don't know. My voice may get as high as our little girls do sometimes when they scream.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. And you just look at me like, what?
Yeah.
You do a What?
You do a ghost show and then you freak out.
Oh, I'm going to talk about this on the next show. That would be something.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's how that would go. 855-853-4802. Jill, hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Indiana. I was calling in with a different kind of paranormal story. Not really a ghost story, but like a precognitive dream, I guess. So this is something that happened to me about 2 years ago. And as you know, I'm kind of a ghost magnet sort of thing. It's the best way to describe it. But so, I don't know how to explain. Things vary. So I'm not one thing or another. I try to be just an investigator, but sometimes stuff just pops up and you got to run with it. One of those things would be the very vivid dreams that then come true. Now, those types of dreams, for me, only happen like once every 5 years. And it used to happen a lot more frequently when I was younger, that I would dream of a loved one being either in danger or dying. And it didn't have to be my loved one. It could be my best friend's loved one, somebody I knew or care about. And, you know, I really hated it because there was nothing you could do with it. It was useless information. But I got to feel that person's pain and suffering of the loss, even though I didn't necessarily know the person they lost. So it was not a blessing. But I had met a man, fell in love with him. We dated a long time. He was a very religious Baptist. And even though he knew I was a little different, he was okay with it. And he had told me that, you know, these were gifts from God, and if you didn't like them, you could pray to God to take them away. So that's what I did. I prayed to God and asked him, you know, to please stop showing me deaths and dying and suffering of my friends and loved ones unless there was something I could do about it. I did kind of tag that on, you know, because it would usually be the phone would be ringing as I'm waking up to tell me of the thing I just saw. So I said, you know, if you're going to show me this, give me enough time to change it. Give me enough time to fix it. Then it's okay. But if you're just going to show me somebody suffering and dying, I don't want to know that. So years later, this is, you know, many years later, so I don't get them very often. But you definitely do know something. In this dream, I work in a factory, and I work with a group of probably 25 people. And I was in the dream. I fell asleep. We were working. It was the end of shift. And I immediately knew I was dreaming. And as we're leaving the building, everybody's walking out. There's this person that I work with, but I don't know him really well. We kind of eat lunch together, that sort of casual relationship. And I'll call him Luke. So in the dream, I'm walking out, and I hear, like, my guardian angel voice say, "Are you paying attention?" And I just get this sickly feeling like, oh, no, it's going to be bad. And I'm walking out next to Luke, who say, "Good night, have a good night." And as I walk away to the right, he goes to the left, and it's almost like, and this is a dream, but it's like I jump out of my body, my consciousness does, and I'm floating over Luke, following Luke, so like a camera in a movie. So the camera is following Luke, which is me, and I'm trying to pay attention. I'm trying to get every detail because I know, you know, I was told to pay attention. Luke is wearing a blue and white shirt with the number 15 on it. And at first, it looks like a football jersey, blue and white with the number 15. And I noticed that because it was very vivid. And he goes to his car, gets his car. I'm still with him. He's driving. The shirt changes to a polo-type shirt, still blue and white, with a little emblem over a pocket that says 15. Okay, that was different. And as he's driving, he's listening to some music and banging on the steering wheel and kind of jamming along. And I notice his shirt changes again. And this time it's like a worn T-shirt, almost like an American Eagle-type distressed T-shirt. Still blue and white, still says 15, but in like a funky pattern or something. So the shirt is obviously important. He's driving along. He pulls into a convenience store. I follow him. He gets out of the convenience store, and he's going in for something. I want to say a drink, but maybe he thought about getting a slushie or a Coke or coffee. I don't know. He was stopping to get something to drink, and as he walks into the convenience store, there is a man in store robbing the store. He has a gun out, and he's robbing the store, and he's a heavyset fellow, and he looks at my friend Luke. Luke looks back at him. Now the camera jumps to the viewpoint of the robber. And the robber looks at Luke, and there's recognition there. They know each other. I think they might be distant relatives. Maybe they grew up together. Haven't seen each other in a long time. They know each other. And the person robbing the store panics that he is busted because Luke knows it. And without a single thought, he says, "Oh, crap," and he turns and he shoots my friend Luke straight in the chest. Just kablam, right in the chest. I think I've shot him. Luke, stunning, you know, he just falls to his knees. He can't believe this is happening, and crumples and dies. And that's the end of it. And then my consciousness is sucked flying backwards out of this scene and thrown back into my own body, which is driving home. So I was really upset, like I'm still in the dream and I'm just driving home, and then, you know, I wake up. So the next day I was like, that was really creepy, but I'm not gonna, this guy Luke, I barely know him, I'm not gonna tell him I dreamed of him dying. That's weird, and it's a really good way to get yourself ostracized from the people you work with. So I go to work. This is creepy. I shook it off. I come into work, and I kind of am looking for Luke, like, I hope that didn't really happen, because, you know, I asked, you know, God not to let me see it if it's not something I can change. And I see Luke with absolutely no intention of telling him the dream. And he's wearing a blue and white football jersey with the number 51. And just, my heart just dropped. I just, oh, just, this is the worst. This is awful. This is, I can't ignore this. That's why it kept showing me the shirt. I thought, why do you keep showing me the shirt? And the shirt keeps changing. But, and then I knew why, because that was my signal that this was not a normal dream, and I have to tell him. And I'm just near to tears, because I know how this ends. I'm going to tell him. He's going to freak out. And I can't win. If it comes true, then people will know that I predicted his death. And if it doesn't come true, then I'm a freak. Either way, I lose. Lose, lose for me. But I just can't, I just couldn't bring myself to let it go. I would have hated myself if he had died, so I told him the dream. And as predicted, he was super freaked out, and I actually did have to tell him some other stories of other times that I've had dreams and how those turned out, because I really wanted him to believe me. And I said, look, I know this is just weird, and it's probably just a weird dream, but if you could just do me a big favor, and when you go home tonight, don't stop at the convenience store, don't get a slushie, just go straight home. And he promises me he will. He's like, girl, you're crazy, but I'll do it for you. I won't stop. I promise I'll go straight home. The next day, we come into work, and I don't see him at first, and I'm pretty panicky because he did tell several people what I told him. he was, you know, telling me in like a laughing, joking manner. But he came in a few minutes late, and I was so relieved to see him. And he walked straight up to me and gave me a big hug and kissed me on the cheek and said, thank you. And I said, I'm so glad you're not mad at me. He said, you're cool. And after that, I just couldn't, he didn't tell me there was anything happened. He didn't tell me if any of that came true. But I was super curious, so I did a Google search on convenience store robberies within a 10-mile radius of where we work, because I have no idea where Luke lives or what direction he drives or anything. And I searched, and there were, that night, there were 7 convenience store robberies within a 10-mile radius of where we worked, which was really crazy. I don't know if it was like the same person or what, but so I don't know if he found out something he never shared with me, but it was just really weird with the shirt matching, and I just, he was cool with it, and he did end up, you know, we're still kind of friendly, but he is a little standoffish from me. I think it freaked him out. He won't sit next to me at lunch anymore, and, you know, he smiles and waves, but I can tell he doesn't want to stand too close to me. So it's okay, but, you know, at least I wasn't completely ostracized, so that's a new ending. But if you ever have a friend like that who gives you a weird dream message, you should listen to him and don't hate the messenger. All right, thanks for your show. I love listening to it. Have a good day.
There's this coupon here they he may have had to use, but thanks to Jill. No, seriously, I mean, that's creepy to be able to do that, but I would heed the warning, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, I would, and I think he knew exactly the next day. I think he knew one of the stores that he normally goes to was robbed and may have even, you know, heard of who did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he knew, and he just assumed he didn't have to say anymore because she already knew so much.
I do kind of feel bad for Jill because, you know, it's a good deed, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, telling people, but it doesn't exactly make friends. It just kind of weirds people out. But the thing is, most people, I think, would be weirded out. If Jill were around us, I would be like always talking to Jill and asking her advice on things.
Yeah. Just, I'd be like, is today the day? Nope. Okay. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm
good. We're good. You know, if I went and did this, would this be okay? Or something? Just you know, it's a little paranormal insurance policy, if you will. But very interesting story. Jill, thank you. We always enjoy your stories. Thank you for calling in. 855-853-4802. If you've not done so yet, please consider becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. Get the bonus episodes every week. All 40-some of them go directly to you. Plus bonus video content and a lot more. So it keeps our show on the air. That's how we keep this thing going. Please consider helping us out. It's only $5 a month. If you like the show and you want it to continue, well, then be an EPP. That's the only way it will continue. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Okay, so I was going to my sister-in-law's stepfamily's house for New Year's Eve because she just asked me if I wanted to come with her. Because I'm pretty sure she just wanted someone to watch her kids. But so we were driving. It's an hour drive to where her family's house is. And when we got there, she told me I could just hang out with her stepmom's daughter. And so I found the step's daughter and her friend sitting on the couch. And so I started hanging out with them. And they kind of like were like, letting me be the third wheel, and so I was just kind of like tagging along behind them until we all discovered we have the same taste in music, and after that they decided they needed to give me the full experience of this haunted house. So they took me to the basement, and we were only about 4 steps down the basement stairs, and they're like, we're not going down any further. And I was like, okay. And they're like, I was like, why not? And they were like, oh, the basement is haunted. I was like, your guys' house is haunted? And they're like, mostly just the basement. It's my brother's room. And so they told me we would wait for the older brother to get home. And that's when we all just were hanging out. And when he finally got home, her and her friend were, like, asking him to take me to the basement and show me everything, like it was some sort of creepy ritual. So we go down to the basement, and they sit me on the big brother's bed in the room. There's just a beanbag in the middle of the room and, like, a small TV in the corner, and then the bed in the other corner. So I'm sitting on the bed while the older brother gets a photo and a magnifying glass from the shelf. And he hands it to me and tells me to look and tell him if I see anything weird. So I'm, like, awkward about this as I'm looking at the photo, and they're all staring at me waiting for me to see something. In the shot, you can see three children sitting on a trampoline, and I was focusing so hard on them that I didn't see what was in the background. Finally, I gave up, and they pointed it out to me. And in the background, there's, like, a fence and a bush, and you can see this face, this, like, skeleton face in the bushes. And it has, like, this cloak around it, but there's, like, no body. It was just a face, and it was a skeleton face, and I just immediately thought it was the Grim Reaper. And I freaked out and told them it wasn't real, that they, like, they edited it online or something, and they told me it was, and that I could ask my sister-in-law who brought me there, because she was one of the kids in the photo. So I found my sister-in-law, and she said that it was true, and that her grandma had taken the picture, and when her grandma went to blow up the picture and put it on the wall, face and freaked out. So, I was shocked and, like, scared because they had this creepy picture and they were telling me that the basement was haunted. So then the older brother wanted to go down there and, like, play on this scary ghost app thing. And I know apps aren't, like, reliable or anything, but it had a lot of creepy coincidences. At one point we were sitting on his bed, and the app shows, like, a ghost radar, and the center of the radar is where you're supposed to be at, and the outer, like, circles of the radar are, like, supposed to be where the rest of the room is, and little, like, red dots appear on it where there's supposed to be ghosts. And nothing appeared on it for a really long time, and the app also shows, like, numbers, and numbers just, like, keep changing on the app, and there's words, and all at once the numbers all turn to 666, and the word formed below, and we felt cool air rise up from underneath the bed. So we all freaked out and ran upstairs, and the stepsister grabbed her Bible, and we were all just freaking out, and I thought it was super cool. I was like, because I'm, like, all into the ghost stuff, and I don't know, I thought it was way cool. So I urged everyone to go back down there and keep messing around with it, and nothing else, like, that coincidental happened, and we all decided to go to sleep. And I suggested we sleep in the basement because I thought it would be crazy if something were to happen. So the other girl, the stepsister, did not want to sleep down there, so she went and slept in her room alone, but me and her friend were sleeping on the beanbag in the room, and the brother was sleeping on his bed. And so when I went to bed, the TV was turned off, but when I woke up in the middle of the night, I woke up several times. And the first time I woke up, the TV was on, and it really just made me feel nervous, so I went back to sleep. And the second time I woke up, the TV was off, and then the third time it was back on, and I didn't wake up again after that. So that was the first night there, and the next day was New Year's Day, and nothing really happened during the day until it became nighttime. And so we were all sitting in the living room, and from the living room you can see the kitchen. And I'm just sitting there, and the others are playing, like, a game on the Xbox, and I look up, and I swore I saw something white run by it, and it was probably my imagination, but I didn't think so when the older brother looked over at me, and we, like, looked over at each other at the exact same time and said, "Did you see that?" to each other. Like, we were both like, "Oh my goodness, yeah, I saw that." He was like, "Yeah, I saw it too." So at that point, we decided to all go to bed because we were creeped out, and it was 2 in the morning. And I told them before I went to bed, I was like, you guys better not pull any tricks on us. And he was like, "Yeah, you better not pull any tricks on us either." So me and the stepsister and her friend were all going upstairs, and we all got into her bed, and we realized that none of us turned off the light. So the littler brother, who hasn't been mentioned yet, but the little brother, we assumed he was walking down the hallway because we heard footsteps and we heard the shower turn on. And the stepsister yelled at him to turn off the light, and he didn't. So I finally got up and turned off the light because no one else would, and we all went to bed. And the next morning, I went to the older brother
who was in the kitchen, and I told him, or I asked him if he played any jokes on us. I was like, did you play any jokes on us? He was like, no. Did you guys play any jokes on us? And I was like, no. And so then the little brother came up, and I was like, that was rude. And he was like, what? And I was like, why didn't you come turn off the light? And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, yesterday night when you went to the, when you got in the shower and we asked you to turn off the light. I was kind of teasing him, but he looked seriously confused. And I was like, what? And he was like, I never got in the shower. I went to bed straight with Nate. And Nate is the older brother. And so I was like, oh. And I was like, it must have been Cindy. And I told the stepsister when she came down, I told her that it must have been Cindy who got in the shower. She's like, no, Cindy went to bed, remember? She was in bed way before us. And Cindy's the little sister. And so I was like, oh, well, it was obviously one of your parents. And she's like, no, they have a bathroom in their room. And so to this day, we don't know exactly who went to the bathroom or where the footsteps came from, but that was just really creepy. So, yeah, that's it.
And I think we lost her.
There you go.
So that was just really creepy.
One of those stories that, you know, obviously she's a bit younger. Mm-hmm. And it will stick with her for her entire life.
It will.
And she'll be telling that story many, many years to come. Probably with a few less likes in it. And I was like...
Well...
you know, just it's funny. I would love to hear a tape recording... Oh, wait, I can. Of myself talking at that age. But not so much on the air.
Uh-huh.
But the interaction with other people.
Sure.
Or with my peers of that age and hearing how I was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was different or not. I really don't know. I have no tape recordings of that.
Probably not too different.
Just me talking to a microphone. Hey, used to lead Dion on Sunny 97.7.
No, I'm sure that was a very scary experience, and she will always wonder who got in the shower.
That's the last place you want to have a ghost.
Yeah.
That's just creepy. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Like we always say, help keep our show on the air. Become an EPP if you've not already done so. If you have, thank you. If not, we need more EPPs to keep the show going. Just sign up. Only $5 a month to get access to all of our bonus episodes filled with some of our best stories that we get. And, of course, extra bonus material as well. New shows every single week for you when you're an EPP. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you in advance for doing that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.